Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. San Francisco's always been known as a young city. Many of us came here in our youth and went on to make history in the fight against AIDS and the struggle for equal rights for LGBT people. Many of us stayed on because we made family here and are free to be out. But being old and gay here isn't what you may think. The aging LGBT population in the city is facing some sobering statistics and issues, including poverty, health problems, and financial challenges. Are their challenges different from the ungay elders? Well, they're at greater risk because most don't have children. Some are estranged from their families for being gay. Many are transgendered and face additional discrimination. And many are just simply poor, contrary to popular opinion that we all live in some kind of will and grace affluent utopia here. My guest is on the LGBT Aging Policy Task Force. He's one of the heroes of the San Francisco gay rights movement. For almost two decades, he ran Project Open Hand. The late Ruth Brinker's brilliant meal delivery system started during the AIDS crisis. He's currently chairman of the Muni Board, SFMTA. But we're not here to talk about that. And thank goodness we don't have a call-in show, because we'd never get the people off the air. Tom Nolan, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thanks, Marilyn. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. I've wanted to have you on for so long. And now we've got this task force study that came out. They interviewed 295 LGBT seniors and found that 40%, this was astonishing to me, 40% of LGBT seniors in this city live in poverty. What's up with that, Tom?
Well, actually, I think what happened is a lot of us came here years and years ago. Just wanted to be in San Francisco. We wanted to be free. We wanted to live free. And we took whatever kind of positions were available. I remember PhDs were bartenders in those days. And, you know, all of that. People accepted positions they really were overqualified for. And
just to be here.
Yes.
Well, they still do in some ways. People are doing all kinds of things just to be here and finding ways economically to manage it somehow. I don't know how. But, yeah, and so, but still we weren't necessarily the professional class or didn't develop into the professional class.
Well, some certainly did, but there's definitely, as you've mentioned, like 40% are very poor people in San Francisco, LGBT seniors. So
that's just amazing. Yeah. So we've got a lot of poor gay seniors who are isolated, who are don't know how to manage finances, who don't know how to get services. And this is what the study found is it was kind of across the board how much they're suffering.
That's really true. It's really shocking in a city like this because we tend to be very youth oriented. We focus on that, and we're just really beginning to take serious consideration of aging issues among the LGBT community.
The aging issues. Well, what we've done though is we've created the AIDS industry.
Right.
Right. And so we've been really good at that, haven't we?
Well, I think what happened is we got here, we were just happy to be here and years ago, and then along comes AIDS, and the entire attention of the community, and rightly so, was devoted to AIDS.
Right.
Trying to find a cure, fighting discrimination, all
services,
kind of
health care.
Absolutely.
Therapy, whatever we needed at the time, all those years.
And then I think we moved in some national struggles like DOMA, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, all of that kind of thing, and marriage equality eventually coming along, which is totally shocking to my partner and me. Never imagined.
As boomers, that we never imagined we'd be a gay marriage or whatever we call it.
And then as more and more of us are aging now, there are 19,000 or so in San Francisco right now, the attention is turning toward us. We're turning it on to ourselves to try to work with our own community.
So that's the point of this in some way. Right. And this was tried back in 2003, right, but it didn't really take then. Right. And then in 2010, this process again started. And now there's a real comprehensive study that shows what a problem it is. Right. And, of course, data equals policy.
Right. Well, the city is very interested in data-driven policy, and there's been precious little, really, about our community. And this is a really significant attempt to find that out. We did not only the survey, we did focus groups, with all kinds of things. We interviewed all kinds of people to come up with this information. So it's a pretty important study.
And you can find the study, ladies and gentlemen, you can find the study and others at sf-hrc.org. SF-HRC, that's not for Human Rights Campaign. That's Human Rights Commission here in San Francisco. SF-HRC.org. And just go under the Lesbian and Gay Task Force, right, the LGBT Task Force. And you can find it. It's a PDF file. And check it out. It's fascinating. Some of the things in there just kind of blew me away. The amount of discrimination and even violence that transgendered people. Now, we know about this from some of the more sensational headlines that we read about Gwen Rahu and other people who've been murdered who are transgendered. But it's rather shocking what transgendered people are going through, the levels of depression and suicide, as well as domestic abuse, et cetera. And so talk about that a little bit.
Well, that was one of the most shocking findings in the study, that 15% of all LGBT seniors in San Francisco in a 12-month period had seriously contemplated suicide. Now, that compares to the national average of all seniors.
Seniors think about it.
Yeah, but maybe once in their lifetime.
We can't stand decay, the decay of our bodies. That's what it is, Tom.
Well, they, but, and but among transgenders, it was like 35% had seriously contemplated suicide within the last 12 months. I mean, it just shows how difficult their lives are. And so this study is trying to address some of those issues.
And nearly 60% of the participants in this study live alone.
Right.
Which is also leads to this problem I mentioned about being isolated.
Well, isolation is a huge problem among a lot of seniors, but it's exacerbated exactly for the reasons you're saying. You know, most of us don't have children or grandchildren, and we're not, you know, we don't live near where our families were. And a lot of us are estranged from our natural families. So,
because in our generation, more often, because it wasn't okay to be gay when we were coming up and coming out, and certainly the generations before us as well.
Right.
But in the 60s, people fled to San Francisco, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and aughts. People are still fleeing to San Francisco in order to be gay. I mean, you look at the homeless teenagers, you look at the runaway problem, and such a huge percentage of those people are LGBT.
Yeah, the last survey they did showed that 1/3 of all the homeless people in San Francisco are LGBT.
Is that right?
Not all seniors, of course, but mostly young people. But yeah, that last survey showed that 1/3, in total, 1/3.
So that's the runaways, right? People who have run away and
huge.
Who've landed here to find some... Right. Peace and freedom and acceptance.
Exactly. They wanted to be themselves, and they couldn't wherever they came from, wherever we came from.
Now, why was there very little data on LGBT seniors, Tom? Why didn't we have this kind of information that this study has finally begun to collect? I assume it's a beginning.
Well, I think some people think even to ask the question, you know, is invading someone's privacy. You know,
really?
That's one of the reasons we had difficulty with some of the ethnic communities getting the word out. The organizations didn't want to put this out there because even to bring it up, they thought, you know, it would be a shameful thing, embarrassing to the people.
Are you talking about all ethnic communities?
Not all,
we
definitely found that in the Asian community, and we found it in the Russian community.
Ah.
And because we translated our survey into four languages, and we got not one response in Russian, a Tagalog. We got one back in Chinese, one in Spanish, and none in Chinese.
Wow.
So, but it shows there's another problem because you just know there are tons of LGBT members of these communities, but they're very, very closeted, deeply closeted.
Because of the cultural prejudices against being homosexual.
It was really surprising to us that some organizations wouldn't even put up posters because they thought they'd be just embarrassing, you know, an invasion of privacy. So we've got a long way to go in all of this. We actually printed the executive summary of the survey in all those languages, and we hope that'll be picked up by folks who
Well, and the task force board, I saw so many people involved in this.
Right.
Task force, there are a lot of different people of color involved.
Right.
And they couldn't say what the outreach to their communities wasn't. It was just difficult, it sounds
It was very
like.
Difficult. It was a huge effort. It's probably the biggest effort that has been made in one of these surveys because the overwhelming response first time around was 85% gay white men. A huge, you know, a lot of gay white men here, of course. But we know there's these other
They're the dominant gay group.
And we did very well with the African-American community and the Latino community, largely because the people who were on the task force got really, really involved in that. There were huge efforts in the Asian community, but it just fell short.
Interesting. You know, you're listening to Out in the Bay, Gay Radio from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is gay rights pioneer and one of my personal heroes, Tom Nolan. So glad to have you on this show. He ran Project Open Hand here in the city for almost two decades. He was an out county supervisor in San Mateo and a champion for domestic partner rights back when we talked about domestic partner rights in the 90s, or even probably in the 80s, but it was really a 90s kind of thing. Now, he's on the LGBT Aging Task Force here in San Francisco, and you can find their study at sf-hrc.org. I just want to dip into that for one second, Tom. We'll go back to the study. You were an out supervisor in San Mateo. What year was that?
I was elected in 84, started serving in 85, and served in 92.
Nobody did that then.
Actually, there were 15 of us in the country.
15 out politicians?
Yeah. And the most successful one of all of us is Tammy Baldwin.
Tammy Baldwin.
Who was a U.S. I had the privilege of visiting with her recently. She was a county supervisor in Dane County, Madison, Wisconsin. There are 49 supervisors in that county, and that's how she began. She parlayed that into an assembly seat, a state senate seat, Congress. I just couldn't be prouder of her, and she's doing a terrific job.
But you were one of the first along with her.
I was, yeah. I was there with
in San Mateo, the suburb of, the peninsula, the suburbs, not even San Francisco, to be out in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Was that, did you face a lot of?
It was pretty scary in the beginning.
Yeah. How was it scary?
A lot of people, there were a number of nasty letters to the editor, that kind of thing, people calling for me to resign and all of this kind of stuff. And so,
well, because it was AIDS, everybody remember it was AIDS, 85, yeah. Rock Hudson.
Yeah. Well, when I was running, I was talking primarily about the issues that face everybody, housing, transportation, the environment, all that. And, of course, AIDS was, huge at that point. But people like to think that it was only in San Francisco. Somehow it magically stopped at the county line, right up the candlestick somewhere around there. and so I had to drag it out of the closet. Really, and we created an AIDS task force. We began the testing and
for the county, San Mateo,
and there's a lot of criticism about that too. Somebody told me don't get involved in the AIDS issue because it'll keep reminding people you're gay.
Well, and hello, but I'm gay. But at 85, people are still frightened because we still don't have a test. We don't know how you get it. People are still thinking you can get it from kissing.
It's just awful.
So we don't even know anything about the disease at that point. It took another 5 years or it took another couple, 3 years for tests, et cetera, I think.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Ruth Brinker here in the city. Such a real hero. I mean, nobody knew in those days. And doctors Paul Volberding and Molly Cook, real heroes. Heroes of mine. They were taking care of AIDS patients at San Francisco General at Ward 86, and they had no idea. They figured they'd probably catch it somehow because they just did, but they did the work anyway. I mean, the heroes and the saints of our generation truly were in the time of the epidemic. Maybe there are others, but that's to me. I was so touched by that and so touched by it personally, and just so many people did so much and responded so graciously. Being at Project Open Hand for all those years was a real privilege for me to be able to offer whatever talents and abilities I had back to the community in that meaningful way.
Well, and Ruth Brinker started it to help people with AIDS, because they were dying on the street.
Yeah, she was.
They were lying on the street with lesions, and no one was helping them, and they weren't eating, and they had wasting away syndrome. And
still gives me shivers to think of the skinny little guys you would see out there and the lesions all over them, and it's just... young men, and it was really just
young
horrible.
Men, people in their 20s, 25.
I knew as much about death when I was in my 30s and early 40s as my mother did in her 70s. I mean, I knew that. I called her one day and said, I have to go to two funerals today, and it was like,
it was worse though, because at least at 70 you expect death.
Yeah, and this was just, it was a horrible period.
Well, and you were, like I said, you're one of my heroes, and you were on the front lines of it, and then you helped run Project Open Hand. You were an openly gay politician. And so you are on the board, you're the chairman of the board of the Muni, the MTA, but you are really involved. Your passion now is this aging seniors issue and the study that the task force has come out with. And what do you hope to accomplish with it? What's the next steps with all this brilliant data that you've got? How does that start forming policy and action?
Well, actually, it's going to start as early as next Thursday. The Board of Supervisors Committee, Scott Weiner and David Campos, have sponsored this legislation, and they're having the first hearing on it, and they're going to introduce some ordinances to the city, to the Board of Supervisors, that will memorialize some of this stuff. It'll make it city policy. For example, on the demographic question, that the city will, wherever demographic questions are asked, they'll ask LGBT questions. That's so important.
So putting those questions into all these various levels of the government and anything that we're finding out. Whenever we're gathering information, gather that information.
Exactly.
So that we really do begin to build more data.
We'll start with the frontline agencies that really deal with it, like the Department of Aging and Adult Services, the Health Department, and those that are right there. The first responders, all of that. But eventually, our recommendation is that everybody in the city, everybody who works for the city, be trained, culturally competent in these issues, and that all the contractors.
Let's go back to that. Culturally competent. What does that mean? Because that's what the study, in part, one of the issues that it deals with is that LGBT seniors in this city are not being treated in a culturally competent way by the people who provide services, the workers, the bureaucrats. Right. they don't understand how to deal with gay seniors, right?
Well, I think that's it. I think really the real point of this whole thing is drawing the whole issue out of the closet. You know, you mentioned ageism. I think that's a huge thing, and I think it's most of us have an internalized ageism, if not
Look at the culture.
Yeah, and so I think bringing the issue to people in the first place, but. You know, the surveys show that a lot of the services in San Francisco, provided by social service agencies and some of the city departments, that people don't feel comfortable. And part of it is there's no attempt made by some of them to make people feel welcome. Ashley McCumber, who was on our task force, head of Meals on Wheels, when he first came here 5 years ago, he put the LGBT demographic question on the basic questions they ask all of their clients. And a number of people responded, LGBT. But he felt, and I believe this is true, simply asking the question shows that you're an open and receptive agency. You're aware that there are LGBT people who are using your services. And that's one sign.
It is powerful.
And there are smaller things. People are talking about a rainbow flag or a mission statement or something that shows that you're welcoming and affirming. And that's what we're going after this. And having some of the issues that come down to be so personal, the transgender community is a terrific example of that. The question of bathrooms, where can they go to the bathrooms? In the city shelters, these issues just go on and on and on, things that they're facing. So if we want to educate people what these issues are.
Well, and it's amazing how what you're going to do with it, because it is going to change when we start collecting more data than that. There's power in that.
Yeah.
And there's power in making better policy. And we've always worried as gay people, I think, as we've aged. Like we've heard the nightmares of the generation before us, the original activists, the Dell and Phyllis activists, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people like that, with the idea of we've heard these horror stories where people are put into nursing homes and they can't be out. Imagine you're on, your last years of your life, and you still can't be out because the nursing home doesn't like it or agree with it. I mean, thank goodness we're in California. Thank goodness we're in San Francisco. But I'm just wondering if that's part of it is getting those people who are home health care aides, care for the elderly, nursing homes, those people who come in contact with LGBT people to be able to. That's what you're talking about in terms of cultural competence.
Well, like one of the biggest programs the city runs is the in-home support services. Like if you're elderly or disabled, you need somebody to come in and help you. That LGBT person wants to know that that person coming into their home
isn't homophobic.
That's right. We'll respect them for who they are.
Or just respect
them.
So
have some training around these issues. And gender identity is another one that's just a huge issue. The health department went through a whole thing here in the city recently about trying to come up with the appropriate questions to establish a sense of gender identity, which is a very interesting question.
Yeah, I don't. From my transgender friends don't like the what's your gender? What are you? What are you? They're not that crazy about that, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, no.
It's a difficult. We're all still learning too.
Yes,
I think we're all still learning about transgender people and what that is. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is gay rights pioneer Tom Nolan. He's on the San Francisco LGBT Aging Task Force. You can find the study at sf-hrc.org. Are LGBT people more vulnerable? Senior people more vulnerable to evictions here in the city? I know that's a huge can of worms. We don't want to open up a lot of stuff about that because that's already being discussed in so many other venues. But I'm just wondering if they're more vulnerable because they're gay.
Well,
old.
I don't think we were able to show that definitively. Except we have plotted where people are living who have been evicted by Ellis Act evictions, and the Castro area, District 8, is a big area for it. So
Supervisor Wiener's district.
Yes, you can conclude or you can assume from that that a lot of folks are gay, and we know that anecdotally for sure. Back to the other point you're making about questions, legal questions and all of that come up. A lot of the survey has revealed that a whole lot of us have made no plans, no advanced planning for ourselves. And that, I think it's like 40% have done nothing.
No will, you mean?
No will, no medical directives.
Living trust, living wills,
so,
nothing.
If you don't do it yourself, somebody's going to do it for you. And it'll be the city, the county.
No DNRs.
Yeah, none of that stuff. And so even a question, one of the interesting things too is like, if you fill out these forms, you can say to a hospital, I want to be referred to as Mr. and Ms. or, male, female, whatever you want to say. And even the direction is in there for if you want to go to a funeral home, if you die and you go to a funeral home or cremated, how you want to be referred to. These things seem small, but they're important.
They're huge.
Person. They really are. You live your life as an out person, and then, come times to go to the hospital and you die. and they sort of shoved back in the closet, you know. So we simply have to be better at all of that. One of the recommendations has to do with that, trying to get people involved, getting organizations very involved, with training people and offering help to LGBT seniors to fill out these forms.
A recent study of local adults age 50 and older living with HIV/AIDS, many of whom are LGBT, found, this is according to the study, I pulled it from there, 48% of participants experience anxiety, 43% depression. Mm-hmm. Most participants are long-term HIV/AIDS survivors, living with the emotional effects of being long-term survivors of a pandemic that killed approximately two-thirds of those contracting advanced HIV disease since 1981. So post-traumatic stress,
sure.
Grief.
Sure.
And so there's some mental health issues we should talk about as well with the study, because it isn't easy to age for anybody. It's uncomfortable and it's depressing somewhat,
and so many
depending.
But then
to be gay, sure, or transgendered, and then to have lost your lover or partner.
When we came to have HIV. When we came to San Francisco, we had a lot of friends, you know, most of them died in those age. Now, I remember at one point thinking, I don't want to be the last person alive. I don't want to be the only one that survives this. And it really took me until I got to Project Open Hand to really begin to think there's a purpose for me being alive, to keep going. So I was very fortunate. I found something that was really close to my heart, meant something to me. I knew what I was doing was able to help people living with HIV and AIDS to eat nutritious meals. But I think a lot that I still have that loss, that sense of loss of so many people who meant so much to me, and I would have loved to be aging with them. And I'm sure that's true for so many
of your generation.
Our generation, that's
right.
That
went through it here, especially in San Francisco, where it was so devastating.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about the study? My guest is Tom Nolan here on Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Anything else about this LGBT aging study task force study that you were on and that you're part of spreading the word about and getting some changes made? Well, anything else that pops for you?
Well, I guess for one thing, you know, I've been to a number of town hall meetings they've had, and it's so interesting, the issues, when this issue comes up. And luckily, I think a really good sign is a lot of younger people are truly interested in the issue. Lyric is interested in it, for example, the organization, gay youth. Yeah, and so I really appreciate, you know, interest. But when people mention the issues, they range from these big, substantial, you know, systemic things like housing, healthcare, and all of that, all the way down through I go to the Castro and I'm invisible. You know, it's all from big stuff to very personal stuff. I'm getting used to.
What does that mean? I go to the Castro and I'm invisible.
Well, older people just. You know, it's
oh, and older kind of, people. Yeah
such
we're
a
not
culture that. You know, and it really runs that gamut, you know. And one of the recommendations in here is community within communities. And the idea is to take our LGBT organizations and sensitize them to the needs of older gay people, gays and lesbians.
Do we need an old folks gay community center? And we already have the community center, but do we need like a little place in the Castro where we can all meet and be old together?
Well, Open House, the only organization that really serves all this, headed by Marcy, started by Marcy, Dr.
Oh,
Marcy.
Right, Open House, right.
They intend, as part of their project over on 55 Laguna, to have a community center that would function exactly that way. It's a place you can be really, if you
right,
really
in small towns, they have senior centers where the seniors go and get a meal and hang out and play games or whatever, visit.
Well, that was one of the other findings in the study, that a number of people who go to the senior congregate meal site programs and meal programs, they don't feel welcome.
The gay people don't feel welcome.
Yeah, quite a range of issues there, you know, quite a range of programs.
Is it churchy?
In some cases, it could be. And maybe the staff or volunteers or other people there. Or it also could be, you know, your own self, your own projection, you know. So who knows? But it's really a wake-up call to these organizations to be a whole lot more sensitive, I think, to us.
So give me some visualization here. What are some of the things you'd like to see in San Francisco in 5 years?
Well, I'd like to see any organization that's serving seniors, any seniors of any kind, with some kind of a welcoming sign, welcoming to LGBT people. I'd like to see everybody trained on all these organizations that the city contracts with, community centers, senior centers, all of this, all these programs. I'd like to have them gone through a serious training on these issues and to somehow be recognized as such. And I would like to do this survey again in 5 years and have the results be significantly different. I'd really, really like to see people feel much more welcomed in these services, much more, you know, happy in being.
And what about our ethnic communities? What progress would you like to see there?
Well, I'd like to see this get some inroads in these communities.
Just some open doors. Yeah. Just open up the doors and let's try to talk about this, but it's deep.
It really is. It's very, very hard to penetrate these communities. We found that. But I think, you know, it can be done. And I'm hoping that this another generation coming along, the next generation, will be more open, more receptive to the issues. We did find there's a difference between older olds and kind of younger olds, you know, pre and post Stonewall.
Pre and post Stonewall. So Stonewall was 69. And we were... So what does that mean, pre-Stonewall? So the people who grew up on Elvis Presley?
Yeah, I guess so, like me.
More than the Beatles?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of...
You're a typical boomer, though, at your
Actually,
age.
I'm a little bit older. I'm 69. I'm a little
That's
head
a boomer.
Of the, little head of the curve.
Right, Snow? Oh, you are?
Just a little... Yeah, I was born before World War II ended. So I just... Just about a month before it ended. But I'm old, one of the older ones.
Maybe what we need, and I'm really bothered by the ethnic community discussion, because maybe what we need is some leaders from those communities to make a stand about this. We need some courage. We need some leadership. You know, an Asian person leading the Asian community, et cetera, to get some of this to, you know, ice to break, some of this wall to come down.
Well, there's certainly some wonderful organizations in the ethnic communities. The Asian Pacific Islander Wellness Center, I'm very familiar with.
Fantastic.
Great organization. They are aimed largely at youth, though. I mean, they're certainly welcoming to seniors, but they were in the same building we were at Project Open Hand, and it's a very much younger organization. I'm just hoping this whole thing calls attention to us, the seniors and the issues we face, because I think we ultimately have far more in common than divide us, you know, including age.
Absolutely,
I mean, just, we're all part of this together. I'm proud of the history that I've been involved with, but I also remember that I didn't care particularly to hear about other people's history when I was young either. So, but just keeping in mind, I certainly hope that the issues coming the time from the AIDS epidemic, I hope that's never forgotten how difficult and how horrible that was. And it's not solved today by a pill. You just can't go take one pill and you're fine. It just doesn't work that way. They don't understand. They don't appreciate the efforts that so many people made. And I hope we never forget. And also the pioneers and the whole community, all the work around equality and everything.
Don't you think some of the things that we've been talking about in this program tonight, this is Out in the Bay, I'm Marilyn Pittman, my guest is Tom Nolan. Don't you think some of these issues are also, besides the obvious LGBT people not handling LGBT people correctly, and LGBT people feeling bad or not out, but part of it is just aging. Our whole country needs to focus on how to take care of our elders. We're a terrible culture in terms of our elders, unlike so many other ethnic cultures who take care of their older people. And we don't.
We push
them aside and don't want to see it because it's something we don't want to look at. It's a mirror we don't want to look into.
Well, this is clearly a part of life, you know, and I think we need to embrace it, you know. And there's some things that have happened. There's some advantages to being my age, for example. Perspective, I think, is one. You know, having been around for a long time, all kinds of things. A better sense of how things fit in. I used to tell people at Open Hand, they'd come to me and say, oh, it's a terrible problem. I'd say, it's just a problem. So that's perspective.
It's just a problem.
It's just a problem. We'll
just one more of them.
One
many
more
problems.
Problem.
Thank you very much. Listen, it's great to have you on finally, Tom
thank
Nolan.
You. Thank you, Marilyn. I enjoyed it.
He is part of the LGBT Aging Task Force here in the city, and you can find the report at sf-hrc.org. Once again, thank you so much,
that's
Tom.
Great.
Wow.
Thank you, Marilyn.
You've been listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. We turned 10 years old this year, but sometimes it feels like 50 when we don't hear from you. That's right. Our main financial support comes from you. You, yeah, I'm talking to you. Sometimes we crowdfund or get a small grant, but most of the time we rely on you to keep us inspired, to keep the show going. Occasionally we raise a little money from underwriting like this. Out in the Bay is supported in part by the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, providing legal referrals in over 100 areas of the law, including those most relevant to the LGBT community. Information online at sfbar.org, sfbar.org/LRIS, 415-989-1616. Make a tax-deductible contribution right now. Go to the Donate Now button on our website, outinthebay.org, outinthebay.com, either one. While you're there, go to our Playing Favorites page. Listen to interviews with Leslie Gore, Ang Lee, John Waters, Judy Shepard, Del Martin, and Phyllis Lyon, and many more. Do it! Our show airs and streams Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific. To hear it on your phone, go to the website and download the Stitcher app. Thanks to the staff and management of KLW. Joanne Marr is our lovely engineer. I appreciate it, Joanne. Out in the Bay is produced by Eric Jansen and me. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me. ¶¶
in the Bay.
This is 91.7 KALW.
Annual Pride Run, a 10K and 5K run in Golden Gate Park, June 28th, the Saturday of Pride Weekend. The Pride Run, sponsored by Kaiser Permanente, is a fun and healthy start to Pride Weekend. Find registration, volunteer opportunities, and other Pride Run info online at sfpriderun.org. That's sfpriderun.org.